Hello and welcome to the 154th episode of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where we never wear out our welcome. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Kim.
And tonight we'll be discussing wearables, by which we mean wearable computers, gadgets, and assorted doodads. Or so say I, we will hash that out as we get into tonight's episode. But first, we'll accessorize in our usual style with our weekly geeky weekly update. Brian, why don't you kick us off? Why don't you lead us down the fashion runway?
It's always weird. I mean, I know it'll be over by the time you guys hear this, but I'm really excited currently for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. That's always quite a lot of fun every year for me.
Making the rounds, getting the books.
Yeah, and just seeing like the neat, I don't know about unique, but the stuff that they do for Comic Book Day that they don't do for, you know, the regular series.
Well, yeah, like Mouse Guard is a perfect example of that. They had a hardcover book last year for free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
And that made quite an impression, too.
Are you a follower of that series, Chris?
On occasion, I am. The problem is they're kind of really pricey. But I do catch it when I can, and art is beautiful, the writing's pretty cool, and, you know, I'm a fan of Redwall and The Secret of Nim, so I appreciate it.
Cool. Yeah, it looks, I always see the covers, I'm like, man, this looks really intriguing, and never really take the dive, so.
Well, my suggestion, by the way, is if you can, grab a friend, and then between the, because what most places do is they kind of tell you, like, on a wall, what's available. And between the two of you, you kind of say, okay, you get that, I get that, you get that, you get that. And then you guys, like, have twice the selection. Because most places won't let you walk out with one of everything. They only, like, limit you to so much. So then between the two of you, you get a selection and you share it, and woohoo, win-win for everybody.
For Free Comic Book Day, not for Mouse Guard.
Yes, Free Comic Book Day.
Sorry. Okay, gotcha.
Sounds good, friend. I'm sure we will enlist your help on Free Comic Book Day. Sorry, Brian, to continue.
And this weekend is going to be double duty. I think this is the second, third year in a row that it's kind of fallen this way. Star Wars Day? Star Wars Weekend? Whatever you want to call it?
May the 4th.
Yeah, May 4th is, I think, Monday. So everybody's doing stuff Friday night, which means I could stay out late, you know, dancing with stormtroopers and cantina girls. And then wake up nice and early to get in line for free comics.
Woohoo! Nice. That's an exciting weekend, man.
It only happens once a year. Make the best out of it.
Indeed, I will. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. A lot of prepping for exciting things in your life. Good to hear. Chris, what about you?
Well, I was pretty geeky this week. I tooled around on my blog, tweaked some stories I'm writing on, and even dived into the forum boards a little bit on the news that... A old role-playing game, Rifts, is now also going to be available in a different rule set called Savage Worlds. Does Rifts ring a bell with you guys?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So, you know, one of the main common phrases for it is a lot of people think that the game world is either cool or just crazy gonzo kitchen sink, but they don't like the rule system because it hasn't really changed in the past 20 years. And it's just, you know, frankly, for a lot of people, a mess. It seems like only the really hardcore fans who just, like, you know, Rifts could do no wrong are the only guys that seem to be able to play that game. So if you like the Savage World system and you always thought Rifts was something cool or you were tempted to do a conversion, wait no longer. It comes out in Christmas.
Very cool.
So wait a little longer.
Yeah. Wait a smidge longer. Is Rifts just too unwieldy and complicated a system or?
Well, Rifts came out it's based off the Palladium house system, which the original engine is basically Palladium Fantasy, which was a D&D clone. And you got your spells with kind of a weird mix of levels/spell points. So imagine that's your base system, and then at some point, they did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so there's a subsystem for designing your mutant animals if you want them. And then they got the Matt Cross Robotech license, so then they came up with an idea of how to tweak that system even further afield on how you can not have your pistol, you know, kill off a a Veritech or a tank.
Oh, mega damage or something, right?
Yes, mega damage.
God, I remember this.
And then they said, here's Rifts with everything. And then we're going to throw everything on top of that. They even had like a superhero game, Heroes Unlimited. That's what it was. That, you know, they just threw everything in the pot in this. And they're like, here, play with it. And some people could make it work. And then over the years, they just added more and more stuff. I mean, in Rifts, you have two different types of major classes. The ones that are your jobs and the ones that actually represent a race that's good at a job, which kind of harkens all the way back to D&D Basic, where you don't have elf as a race, you have elf as a class, except now your race is alien cyborg hunter or something like that. It's like I said, it's at this point, it's just kind of, and it has 40 books out. I mean, even like D&D at some point said, okay, we got 40 books out. It's time to revamp the system. And they're just keep going on. A perfect example of one of the reasons why is Kevin Symbiota. He still lays out books using wax and paper. He doesn't use desktop publishing. Or he contracts that stuff out. He never really kept up with the times. One of the reasons why it's not as popular as it could have been is during the heyday of websites going crazy in the 90s, he was throwing out cease and desists left, right, and sideways. He did not get in on the D20 craze because he was convinced that if he made a D20 version of Rifts, somehow Wizards of the Coast would basically be able to steal his IP, his intellectual property, in some form or fashion.
Wow.
And nobody could convince him of otherwise.
So the proliferation of books, to step briefly away from your point, which was about the simplified Rifts, the proliferation of books, it probably is owing to really smart, really motivated people doing what they love, right?
Yeah, actually what I've heard is he gets a freelancer. His freelancer comes up with really wild, crazy stuff for a new area of the world. Or just to give you an idea of how crazy Rifts is, a whole new dimension, because the setup for Rifts for the people back home is way in the future when we already have cybernetics and stuff. Somebody basically throws a nuke down near a mystical ley line nexus, and the people that die near it become human sacrifices that overcharge Earth's basically overtaxed and sleeping mystical system, and then suddenly it becomes supercharged. And now in the 300 years later, you can see these mystical ley lines at night, like the Northern Lights, because they're so powerful. So there's wizards and cyborgs and demons and things that come from other dimensions with new technology. It's like the 90s cranked up to 11 on your heavy metal album, which is then taped onto your airbrushed van.
It sounds like Ready Player One to me, actually. Like everything you want, here it all is in a big stew.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, cool. Does that conclude your update, sir?
That includes, yep, my... Oh, one more thing is I'm also starting to read Robert McCannon's The Border, which is his latest book that's coming out soon. For those who don't know, Robert McCannon was a big horror writer back in the day. He wanted to branch out. He did some really awesome stuff, but his publisher still wanted him to push him back into horror, so he just quit. And now he's making a comeback, doing all sorts of different books. He's a very talented guy. You should check him out.
Cool.
Yes, it's sci-fi. Basically, humanity is hanging in there as two alien races use Earth as their battlefield.
Sounds like fun to me. That will be in our show notes. We will definitely link to it, and look forward to you giving me some cliff notes so I don't have to read it, because I'm not a reader. Just kidding. I like to read. Cam, I thought I heard you laughing. It must be your turn.
Is it my turn? Okay. Let's see. Took my mom to see a movie. I'm usually pigeonholed when I do that because she will not see, like, R-rated or any kind of violent type movies or anything like that. So basically anything good. So we usually end up seeing, like, you know, Disney films or, you know, pretty tame films. She wanted to see the movie The Age of Adeline, which sort of had a sci-fi premise in terms of a woman having some sort of accident, and then she stopped aging and the associated problems that went along with that. It actually starred Harrison Ford, which I didn't even know until I saw the movie. It was terrible, and it was very predictable, but my mom liked it, so that's all that mattered. And you know, it's not hard to stare at Blake Lively for, you know, an hour and a half. So that was one thing. Did a lot of tabletop gaming, like always. I got in a few Kickstarters that I've been waiting on. I got in a game called Lanterns, The Harvest Festival. It's an Asian-based tile laying game with a couple twists, which is a really, really great game, and looking forward to introducing that to game night at the Adventure Game Store this week. And then I guess the biggest news would be I've finally broken down and purchased a PS4.
Nice.
It was just, you guys have been, you know, hounding me to get one for a while, and then our conversation with Dantha Kamo about Final Fantasy a couple shows back just sort of pushed me over the edge, and I got one, and look forward to playing with you guys online when I finally get my PSN and everything all set up, because I refuse to put like a regular credit card on the PSN. I'm just going to get a dedicated card just for PSN because it gets hacked so much. That way, there's no access to Russia or China or Korea or whatever, to my, normal bank accounts. And I think that about rounds out my Geekly.
Sounds like a pretty full Geekly to me, and, look forward to exchanging a PSN handle so I can have 7 friends on PSN instead of 6.
Awesome.
And I guess that brings it to me. I have actually not been doing a lot of video gaming lately, just busy with other things. Let's see, I do have some news to report, though, some good news in my life. Elmer, my broken Roomba, is coming back. The folks at iFixRobot.com were able to fix him. They were able to open up his internal gearbox and de-hair it and put in some well, apparently hair gets into these inner workings and really jams it up and kills your battery because, you know, it's these gears are fighting against hair that's trapped in there and so on. So they were they do a little modification that prevents the infiltration of hair and that kind of thing. So they did that, a new battery, a new charger, basically the works, and he is going to come back good as new. So this is in total contradiction to what the folks at iRobot, the makers of my robot, told me, which is that it was basically dead. I needed to buy a new one. And turns out it could be fixed. So,
and so are you going to have a robot deathmatch between your new device and Elmer? Or are they going to work in harmony?
Yeah, Elmer has to battle with my other robot, which is the Nito brand robot, who is called Vacky. That seems unimaginative, but you have to understand I had like just watched Chappie and then he showed up and like so now his name's Vacky. So Vacky and Elmer will be battling for supremacy. Yes.
Well, gentlemen, there's only one job slot open. Good luck. Yeah.
Two may enter, one may leave.
Exactly. It's gonna be a vacuuming Thunderdome in front of, under my coffee table. So, the winner is me because my floors are clean. But nice. Let's see. I did that. I'm doing a little e-waste recycling. I found a free utility for wiping hard drives, so I blitzed this old laptop hard drive completely, and I'm gonna turn that in for recycling. And was about to do the same with my old tower. I want to keep the tower for reuse, but I want to blow away all the hard drives, rip the old motherboard and everything and all the hard drives out and recycle those. Problem is, the power supply is blown, so it won't turn on, so I can't boot into this software to wipe everything. So I'm now in the position where I have to buy a power supply to fire up an old machine to wipe the drives, to throw away all the components, so that I can then maybe someday build a new computer.
Can't you just like run a magnet over it or something?
I don't, you know, for some reason, I don't trust physical destruction. Like, you know, I could run drills into it, but the other thing is that renders the hardware useless. And if, you know, maybe this recycling outfit will repurpose these, you know, and somebody else could use these drives.
I'm sure you can find pretty cheap power source though, right? Either on eBay or maybe even on, you know, one of these other exchange sites. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, I think so, Cam. It just comes down to, do I want to buy a nice hard drive anticipating building a machine, or do I want to buy a cheap one and then procrastinate on building the new machine? Because once I buy the nice power supply, well, I've got a power supply, I might as well buy a nice motherboard, and then, you know, slippery slope.
Right, I gotcha.
And there you go.
Yep.
In addition to the tinkering slash getting things done around the house happenings, I watched a movie called Ex Machina, which is...
Oh, how was that?
Really good. You guys should see it. It's all about artificial intelligence and what it means to be alive and to be a true intelligence, and alludes to the Turing test, and not alludes, it actually makes the Turing test a central kind of premise of the film. You should really check it out. You know, as much as I am into AI and all that kind of stuff, or, you know, well, as a layman into AI, it really resonated with me, and I think you guys would really like it. So go check it out.
Yeah, that's a date movie for me, definitely.
Yeah, actually, it is. Women like it, I'm told. So.
Really? That's the movie I wanted to see, but I got roped into the trash that I had to watch with my mom.
Well, if your mom isn't into really, I don't know her taste, but this doesn't have anything objectionable.
Yeah.
But she may or may not like it, but you will, so go.
I will definitely go.
Then in addition, I watched Game of Thrones, and I have to say, it's just too far off the rails at this point. I understand they can't faithfully follow the books, but to diverge from what is in the books and replace that content with just things that are apparently silly, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah. That's why I didn't mention it in my Geekly.
Yeah, like, I mean,
if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Right.
Right. Will I continue to watch it out of habit for the rest of the season? Probably. Of course. I mean, I paid for HBO, but
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed. I just really, unless they're going to reintroduce certain things that they have passed on introducing at some other point in the future, I don't see this going in a direction that I'm going to like. So, Game of Thrones. Meh.
I'm looking forward to the Sand Snakes, to seeing them, but I mean, we'll see.
Well, the cast from Dorne is also going... Well, all right, I don't want to give it away anymore, but it looks like the cast of characters from Dorne is also going to be severely curtailed. So not happy about that, because the Dornish are very interesting.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Anyway, that's that. And that concludes my update. Guys, unless you have anything else in the way of update stuff you want to get in, I think we can expand our horizons and our accessorizing to the broader world and segue nicely into our news extravaganza segment.
Sounds like a plan.
Yes, it does. And so let's commence. Brian, hit me with some news, man.
I cannot seem to get away from Skyrim. I have been playing less and less as I wrap up, like, every possible major quest I possibly can. let's see, I'm the Harbinger of the Companions, the Thieves Guild leader, the Archmage of the Mage College, the whatever. I killed, what's his name? Albion?
Mm-hmm.
What else? I'm a Jarl in Five Provenance. No, not a Jarl. A Thane.
Thane, yeah.
In Five Provinces. I'm running out of things to do. But just reading the news and everything, did you guys see the shitstorm over at Valve this weekend?
Mm-mm. What happened?
So, I mean, I play on the 360, but a lot of people play Skyrim on the computer, and modding is a huge part of the fun of the game, keeps things fresh, people really go all out, just completely changes the game. People love it. Well, Valve introduced the capability to charge for mods.
Oh.
Almost immediately, a $100 mod for realistic horse genitalia hit the market.
Took that guy like 1 hour to put it together.
And then people started delving into what it was. For a very first effort, the terms were not very kind to modders. The modders got 25% of all sales, and they were only paid out after their cut was $100. So their 99-cent little mods would have to sell 400 copies before they got a penny.
Jesus.
And then, of course, a lot of people were like, well, you know, I've been a modder for 10 years. I've never made a dime. I do this because of the passion, and I don't want people cashing in and blah, blah, blah. And there was all kinds of copyright, like, you know, why should I give Bethesda a penny for my hard work? And they're kind of like, yeah, Bethesda had a little bit to do with it.
Right.
So it was just a horrible shitstorm. And it was very funny to watch because the story broke on Reddit mostly. And Gabe Newell is actually kind of a presence on Reddit. Like, he shows up and does AMAs and he talks to people. So he showed up and people just tore him a new asshole for like 8 hours.
Jeez.
Like, you're a fucking piece of shit. You're garbage. I can't believe you're throwing away everything your company's worked for after years. And then, like, he was like, no, you know, I listened to you guys and you're right. We did that wrong. We're killing it. And they were all like, oh my God, Gabe, you're the best. You're a paragon of virtue. I love you so much. It is just so fascinating to see things up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, in such a short time. Skyrim's meta rating dropped like 10 points on the site just because it was associated with it. It went from like a 98 to like a 90 or something like that. Like, people were just so ravenous to destroy something because they didn't like being charged for something that, you know, people put their heart and soul into.
That's almost bizarre. It almost sounds like a stock market reaction when you talk about it that way.
Really strange. And of course, you know, they're human beings, so it's a week later and no one gives a flying fuck anymore. Everybody continues modding, everyone continues buying. But it was an interesting ride.
Wow.
Here's the funny thing. It's already happened once over at Kindle. They have a thing they call Kindle Worlds where different companies can put their intellectual property out, like Vampire Diaries, Armstrong and Archer, Twilight, I think. Don't quote me on that one. And they had a similar fiasco because at some point the people who did the fan fiction that they could get paid for were saying, well, why should the original guys, why should Warner Brothers get a cut of my hard work on the fan fiction I wrote for their particular franchise?
The concept of people laying the creative foundation for a thing just doesn't really click with people, right?
Not when they're making their own money off of it, it doesn't anymore.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think the cut on Valve was like 45%. I think maybe that's a little high.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
People were just like, you know, you don't deserve a penny.
Well,
yeah, they do. They deserve money for that. I mean,
Valve and these modders might be interested in contracting with the Nerdstravaganza intellectual property consultants. As we've mentioned several times, we've come up with several potential licensing scenarios that benefit all parties.
It's pretty fascinating. I mean,
well, I always thought that modding was basically a live audition for these guys.
A lot of people have gotten jobs out of it. There was actually a really big case recently where this guy basically just released a sequel to Skyrim. It was like a huge game where shouts were replaced with bard songs, and there were like 80 new enemies and like 200 new quests. And the guys, you know, like commented on his things like, you did this by yourself? Like, send me your resume.
Wow. Yeah, I think, it builds a positive ecosystem around the game. And with a little license tweaking, courtesy of us, I think this could work out well for everyone.
For the low cost of 45%.
What do you think the over-under is on that guy's, the chances of that guy being a virgin? the one that released the sequel, I mean.
He spent 2 years working on bard songs instead of shouts.
I'm saying it's pretty close to 100%.
Pretty good odds. Pretty good. That is probably statistically probable.
I'd say more than probable. I'd say it's pretty definite.
I think certain is the word we're looking for here.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, That's some news. Anything else?
One more thing, just to tie back to a previous episode. I think it's hilarious. There's been a huge academic study released on chimpanzees actually creating and using tools.
Oh, wait, so this is new. This is a new revelation that they do this, or?
It's not necessarily the revelation. It's the extent to what they do it. I mean, they're kind of in like the Bronze Age. They'll be smelting soon.
Wow. Okay. Because I think we've all seen footage of them using a stick to get mites out of termites or something out of a log, but it goes beyond that, I guess.
Apparently they have started shaping tools.
Oh, are they like evolving? Holy crap. Are they getting like smart?
Like before our eyes.
That's pretty cool, man. They see us with like cell phones and stuff and they're like, well, it's only a matter of time before they devolve. We can overtake them.
pretty soon one of them's going to come out to another sequel for Skyrim.
they're going to start modding Skyrim soon.
Yeah.
Caesar like Skyrim.
All the females are sexy orangutans in this mod. Well, that's interesting news too, Brian. Okay, that's two great pieces of news. Is that it for you?
That is it for today.
All right, well done, well done. I think to keep the batting order consistent, it's over to you now, Chris.
Okay, well, I have a few things. Let's see, probably the big one pop culture-wise is Jared Leto. I think that's the actor's name, right? They, you know, gave us a sneak peek of what he's going to look like as the Joker. Or as the Joker Juggalette. I don't know. You tell me. He's got tattoos and...
But they immediately backtracked on that. They're like, no, we just mocked that up. That was just for shits.
Yeah, I think they confirmed he's not going to have tattoos or something like that.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, immediately I think one of the better memes off that one was an old picture of Ben Affleck shirtless and they had him all tatted up.
Jeez.
So it was amusing.
Was that really that objectionable? I mean, so they depict the Joker as having tattoos. It's not traditionally done, but is that really such a departure?
I think there's at least one where someone is a professional has done him like he has like a dragon tattoo on his back or something, but I don't know how canon that is or if that really matters.
Mm.
Oh, I was picturing like a Wayne Enterprises like tramp stamp.
Cam, you want to extend that over under to people who give a shit that the Joker was depicted with tattoos being virgins?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the same ratio. It's pretty much the same frequency.
So to continue on, Neil Stephenson's got a new book coming out. Woohoo! Seven Eves. And unlike some of his recent, current day thrillers, this is all actual science fiction and stuff. Actually, it's the beginning of the story is very much like Gravity. Basically, something starts to spiral, space trash. And I think maybe the moon also explodes. Starts raining down on Earth and we have to get the hell off the planet. And then like 7,000 years later, we come back.
Oh, cool. To find
whether or not we're actually really human is kind of a question mark.
After 7,000 years in space.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I think Hawking just told the world or something that he doesn't think the human races are going to survive for another 1,000 years on the Earth. So we better figure out another place to go to. So that might be art imitating life.
That one of my favorite phrases is, a passing asteroid is nature's way of saying, so how's that space program coming along?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. And then the last thing is the whole Hugo scandal that's going on. The editor of the Intergalactic Medicine Show has bowed out of his Hugo nomination. Just to give you some background on that. The Intergalactic Medicine Show is actually a publication that's owned and was started by Orson Scott Card, who's known to be very involved in anti-same-sex marriage stuff.
I hate to get political, but anti-same-sex right to breathe stuff? He would kill them all if he could. He is really, really...
Yeah, yeah.
Yikes.
Card, you're talking about Card, right? Like that's like a quote.
Practically. Wow. But this guy, what he said is, yes, I have actually had people come up to me and say, I won't read anything off your magazine, because of your owner's viewpoints. And his comment is, I understand we actually do have gay writers and female writers and minority writers for our publication. He, for some reason, he leaves us separate from what he does because he just wants writers to have a chance. But on the flip side, he also thinks that the sad puppies slash rabid puppies, he's like bad form. He goes, even if I might agree with some of your viewpoint, what you did with the Hugos was not cool. So he's bowed out of his nomination.
Wow. Interesting.
The problem with that is they're going to get their way because no one else is going to stay in.
I don't think Kevin J. Anderson has declined his nomination yet.
What's the story? What are this Anderson's person? Sorry. What are this Anderson's views on exterminating homosexuals? So let's start there and then work our way into his thoughts on the sad puppies.
You know what? I haven't really actually delved into that. But neither has anyone dragged out, oh, Kevin J. Anderson, have you seen what he says? All he's said is, I'm nominated, here's my book, woohoo! That's all he said. As far as I know.
Mm.
Now that I've said that, I'm sure we're going to get some comments on Facebook that will
yeah,
bring it further to light if I am wrong.
Okay, so some serious politicking going on in the world of writing. Anything else?
Ah, that's it.
Okay, that was a pretty action-packed news segment on your part, sir. And now let's bring it over to Cam, who can bring it home with what will no doubt be an interesting media package. Wait, media package? Yeah, package of news.
Well, speaking of virgins, you guys all remember the AT&T, the old days of AOL dial-up and, you know, waiting for the modem to connect and all that stuff to get onto AOL so you could talk to other people and
other virgins
and yeah other virgins and not have sex basically.
Yes
Well, apparently there are many people out there that still use AOL dial-up, one of them being a man named Ron Dorf in Woodland Hills, California. He is 83 years old and he still uses AOL for his internet access, and AT&T hit him with a $24,298.93 phone bill.
Whoa!
Because of his AT&T, because of his AOL activities. It's not clear why it happened. It wasn't like one of those things where just you went off the rails. I mean, he was only paying $51 a month up until all of a sudden it just exploded. But apparently AT&T was pretty like shitty to him about making him pay. Until he got the LA Times involved, and then they shamed them into dropping the bill. So if you're out there and you use a modem, be careful.
Don't down the Hollywood blockbusters in high def.
Yeah, exactly. Dragon Ball Z fans, Dragon Ball is returning to TV after a 20-year hiatus. It will be called Dragon Ball Super. You guys know who Rick Baker is? He's a movie monster creator. I'm a huge sci-fi, horror movie and fan, so he's someone I know, but I don't know that many people. I don't know that he's a household name. Any of you guys know who he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done a ton of stuff. I mean, Exorcist, Maleficent, like Harry and the Hendersons. What else has he done? He's done a ton of movies that like over like a 50-year career or something like that. And he's having an auction, an online and, in-person auction. And he's basically auctioning off his life's work. Over 400 items from over 50 films are going to be auctioned off with no reserve. Each item is starting at $5 each. So if you would like to own a piece of movie history, like the head from Harry and the Hendersons, or some things from MIB or, all the movies that he's done, you can check that out. Let's see. Speaking of movies, Christopher Columbus. Chris Columbus, you guys know who he is. 1492 was his production company back in the 80s.
Gremlins, wasn't it?
Yeah, Gremlins, Goonies. He did a ton of great 80s movies. Apparently, he confirmed that Gremlins and Goonies are going to be rebooted fairly shortly. I'm actually not that upset about it because apparently J.J. Abrams
there you go.
Was consulted. Was consulted.
Okay, those were the magic words I was looking for, Cam. Okay,
yes. Thank you. So, they might not be that terrible. So look forward to the Goonies and Gremlins in a few years, I'm sure. The Apple Watch is under fire yet again. Apparently, if you have a wrist tattoo, it causes all kinds of problems for the Apple Watch. I guess the connectivity, which, and this is sort of apropos to tonight's topic, but I guess the connectivity between your skin and the back of the Apple Watch is hindered and screws up the sensors on the back of the Apple Watch if you have a dark to semi-dark wrist tattoo. Oh. So, hipsters, I can hear hipsters' hearts breaking all over the country.
The people most likely to buy it can't use it.
Exactly.
What effect does this have if you are a person who has dark skin, though? Or are you, like, just screwed in that case, or is it just the ink?
No, I think it's the ink.
Okay, so it's not color, it's the material. Okay.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't think it's the color. I think it's
I was about to like facepalm my own head off. It's like Apple. You literally like made a product. That...
Yeah.
You are Hitler.
And apparently, it's like pretty significant. Like, the heart rate sensor doesn't track your heartbeat. You have to keep relogging in, and you know, re-entering your code. It has all kinds of like just really serious problems if you've got wrist tattoos. So sorry, hipsters. let's see. Let's go the opposite of hipster. DARPA. You guys all know DARPA, our big brother in the defense industry, has come out with self-guided bullets. And if you watch the video, it's actually pretty freaking impressive. If you fire at a target, the bullet will actually follow the target.
Oh, great.
with pretty like amazing accuracy. And they've teamed up with a company called Teledyne, which is way, way too close to Cyberdyne for me. The bullets are called the X-Acto bullet. And apparently they compensate for a shooter's lack of experience. And, you know, you can just shoot and goes wherever you tell it to. So that's pretty amazing. And then, finally I'll round it out with some, news for BBC, Harry Potter and Grand Theft Auto fans. Apparently Daniel Radcliffe and Bill Paxton will be starring in a Grand Theft Auto TV show, which is going to be produced by the BBC. So look for that.
You had me at Bill Paxton.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around Grand Theft Auto, BBC.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Wait, wasn't one of the early Grand Theft Auto games based in London or something? Because I remember seeing like this is going to date Brian and I, but Brian, don't you recall a game cover back when we worked at the game store of like what looked like a little Mini Cooper with like a British flag on the top of it or something?
I think it was one of the expansions for 2.
Yeah, okay. All right. So there's some precedence for the mayhem in that series going on in the UK.
Yeah, I'm almost certain.
Of course, they'll base it in LA because they don't want to paint their country in a in a bad light, right?
Well, they'll base it in an LA that strangely looks like Vancouver.
Right.
Well, I'm just like, it just makes me laugh at the prospect of Bill Paxton saying, "Game over, man." Oh man, but yeah, that's coming. So look for that.
Will do. That's awesome.
Harry Potter beating up hookers, and stealing cars.
So here's the thing. I think it could be disastrous or it could be great because we know Paxton could do like pretty much anything.
No wrong.
Right. But it might actually prove doubly disturbing to find this person people associate with fond childhood memories acting like as a complete psychopath, right?
God, yeah.
Well, he's played pretty sleazy characters before. I mean, in True Lies, he was the used car salesman, right?
You're
Harry Potter?
You're talking Paxton,
no,
yeah.
No,
you're
talking about Radcliffe.
Yeah, I meant Radcliffe.
Talking about Radcliffe.
Oh.
Well, Radcliffe will have to play a sleazy character because I can't think of a non-sleazy character in the entire Grand Theft Auto series. So.
Well, he's good at dark. I mean, that movie Horns that came out.
Oh, yeah, that
was
good.
Was pretty good. He did The Woman in Black. The first one was okay. Second one was crap. But I don't think he was in the second one. He did a show where he was like, I can't remember the name of it, but he was like, it was a dark comedy and he was like a doctor's apprentice or something like that. but it was like, it, that was like pretty dark as well. So I think he might be able to pull it off.
Mm. Cool. And I hear he's voicing Ratcliffe in the Pocahontas sequel, so that should be.
He's also Igor in an upcoming Frankenstein film.
Is that that a fact, really?
Yes, with James McAvoy as the doctor.
James McAvoy? Wow. Okay.
I don't know if that's a comedy or if that's going to be done more straight. Mm. The one promo shot I had kind of left it in the air for me, the way they were kind of looking at the camera.
I don't have any idea who James McAvoy is.
Professor X.
Yeah, and he was in the movie Wanted with, what's her name, Angelina Jolie. He's Professor, the young
Professor
X.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, I think that'd be all right.
Yeah, he's a really talented guy, too.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he is, but when you think of, like, Dr. Frankenstein, I think of, like, Doc Brown from, like, Back to the Future.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Oh, and I think that rounds out my news.
All right. Well, you're a talented guy yourself because that was a great news. You know what? I commend all of you. That was an excellent tour of the news, and I am thoroughly informed. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
And speaking of being informed, I guess it's time we inform the audience that it's time to jump into the meat of tonight's episode, which is wearables. So, guys, I sort of alluded to a definition of wearables during the introduction. I think a wearable computer is the textbook definition, which would include something like an Apple Watch, etc. I personally expand the definition to include any sort of gadget that is worn on the person and has any sort of maybe computing application or interfaces with a computer. So that's my sort of expanded, probably not textbook correct definition. So I would include like my little Fitbit or some kind of a health monitor that you would wear in that category. Just, I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anything. Pretty much anything that is tech that's on, that you put on your body.
Cool. Okay. Doesn't sound
I can't argue with that definition.
Okay. So with no objections, we move forward. And I guess it probably makes sense to kind of survey the landscape of existing wearables and maybe discuss any that we have, want, are indifferent to, think are stupid, etc. And then from there, maybe branch out into what we maybe are looking forward to or not looking forward to in the future. I'll just, to motivate that discussion a little further down, I'm not looking forward to a wearable wrist gun that dispenses those person-seeking bullets. That's a shitty wearable. So take it away. Let's survey the current landscape and discuss.
Well, obviously, you alluded to the Fitbit. I talked about the Apple Watch. You know, Google Glass is who knows what's going to happen with that. What else is out there? What's the name of that thing? What's the name of that virtual reality? Face set.
The Oculus Rift or the
Oculus Rift. Yeah, would that be considered a wearable or would that be considered a game?
That's possibly for motorcyclists.
Yeah, I think a wearable, if so, I'll maybe narrow the definition more and you can object if you think this is wrong. And Brian, you said possibly for motorcyclists, so I think you're on the same page. Are you saying that's because a wearable has to be something you need to be able to take around with you?
Yeah, I think it needs to be like practical as opposed to just like, you know, I'm carrying this computer on my back to a LAN party.
Yeah. Although I've heard rumor of a VR setup meant to be used with mobile phones and tablets, so something equally ridiculous may become a reality. So you may see people bumping into light poles and passing buses and so on as they have this stupid thing over their eyes.
Jeez, lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, that would be my gripe. I mean, just to stick in that vein of conversation, I mean, that would be my gripe with the current gen, I guess, of wearables, is that they're just way too big and cumbersome to be practical. But I think, you know, if you look at Moore's Law, which of course is that, you know, things are going to get smaller and smaller and gain efficiency, I think, you know, there is a lot of potential for them to be incorporated into our daily lives on a much less intrusive level.
I see. So you see the potential, and for this particular discussion, it doesn't sound like there's anything in the current set that is jumping right out to you as a must-have.
Absolutely not. No, there's nothing that I would like wear right now.
Right, right.
Even the Google Watch. I mean, it's just not practical. And we've talked about this before. I mean, I hate gimmicky things. I hate things that are like just done for the sake of being done. Don't, you know, give me something that's going to make my life easier and that's going to enrich my life, not just something that is going to take me two or three extra steps to do the same thing I could have done, like even with like just my regular hands or feet.
right.
Like, you know, it's just doesn't make any sense.
Brian, Chris, anything out there that you guys like, would like to have, or contemplating getting in the near future?
I don't think it's quite there yet, but it's getting there, and I'm pretty excited about it. Have you seen the watches that project your phone display on your wrist?
Yeah. Is that a real thing?
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure it's consumer model yet, but I think that was functioning.
That's kind of cool. So you're just tapping your wrist and you're interfacing with your phone, basically.
I love that. I would totally do that. I would have to shave, though. So.
And not get a wrist tattoo.
Maybe sell, like, long-sleeve shirts or something.
That's funny.
Sell bracelets with a favorable surface that can be projected on.
Well, Tom, you say bracelets, and I think, you know, a lot of the research I've seen recently is that jewelry is going to play a big part in wearables. Things are going to actually be incorporated into jewelry so that it's not, I mean, obviously the Google Watch is jewelry, I guess, you know, I mean, people really don't think about it in those terms, but I'm thinking about it in terms of like bracelets, earrings, necklaces, things like that. And they'll be incorporated into those types of things. And that, so they're not as intrusive once the tech gets better and things get smaller.
I finally have a reason to get my ears pierced. Yes.
Well, too, the other thing that's pretty exciting about that, too, is that by doing that, you can actually take advantage of, like, kinetic energy so that you don't have to have a battery. Sort of like, you know, how watches, a lot of watches just use the kinetic energy of your wrist or whatever. I think you'll be able, you know, producers will be able to take advantage of that if they think in advance.
And that's kind of where I was going to go is, even though we have Moore's Law, the real question is, what are you going to do with the battery? Because we're still working on, I mean, 9/10 of what we love to do with sci-fi, the question isn't the computing power now, the question is the actual power itself.
I've got, and it's almost impossible to talk about the sort of uninspiring current gadgets without just jumping straight into the future, but I've got a great solution for that. And if you've not seen this, you'll never not see it again. Have you ever been walking around and just noticed what happens to women's ponytails as they're walking? So sometimes they're just hanging there and nothing's happening, but occasionally there will be sort of a coming together of physical forces such that they begin this pendulous swinging and they just start going crazy. Like it seems like they're like going back and forth at a rate that doesn't comport with the rate at which the woman's walking.
Okay.
I had a female friend of mine explain, oh yeah, that happens. It's just one of those things that happens sometimes. Whatever causes it, if we can induce it, there you have perfect motion that can be captured to charge your devices. Just a wire running from the ponytail through the clothes to whatever device is on that woman's person need charging, and every woman has a built-in charger on her head.
just stick it in a scrunchie, and then that's it. Yeah. You know, you got yourself a pony window.
Yeah, there it is.
I wish I remembered the movie I was. There was a movie I was watching where actually the shtick for a little bit was they were following that happening as this woman went through the office. And your eye kept tracking the swinging ponytail as, you know, they did this transitional scene. I wish I remembered what the movie was, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a little tongue in cheek, obviously we're joking, but like Tommy Hilfiger, which I didn't even know was still in business. I mean, I haven't seen anyone wearing like a Tommy Hilfiger shirt in years, but like in December of just last year, 2014, they launched clothing with solar cells built into the clothing that can actually charge your devices. So there's like a little wire that you plug into your phone and while it's in your pocket, and as you're walking around in the sun, the solar cells in the clothing is actually charging your device. And there's another company in Chicago that actually leverages your body heat through your clothing or through, you know, other things that you're wearing to power your devices. So your own body heat is actually generating, not even just kinetic energy, but your natural body heat.
And Cam, I'll add that Tommy Hilfiger stuff, in the case of that particular line of apparel, as it is generating power, it's sending out to Amazon for non-Tommy Hilfiger clothing for you to wear. So it's...
Yeah, it's doing you two favors at
yeah,
once.
Yeah. Oh, man. Chris, I think I didn't want to leave you in the current gen. Were there any wearables after which you are lusting or anything you aspire to own in the current gen?
No, not in the current gen. That was my main thing, was just, battery life that I could think of why I just don't have an interest in any of this stuff. Because if I put it on, I want to put it on and forget about it. I don't want to have to hook it up to something. Exactly what Cam was talking about. If it could run off me, that would be the perfect thing.
Yeah, you guys really do bring up an interesting point, and I think this is where the watches are going to definitely not be a fun thing to deal with. I have a Fitbit. I charge it once every 3 or 4 weeks. It's really not something I need to worry about. I have a pocket watch in the form of my phone that I have to charge every night. Now you're proposing as a manufacturer that I need to charge my wristwatch every night. I don't think so. We need to solve the power problem, I think, for me to be sold on these wearables.
Tom, www.tommyhilfiger.com. Answer to all your problems, my friend.
If you want your clothing in the form of a folded up and refashioned flag, we've got a full lineup for you. How do you feel about red? How do you feel about white? And how do you feel about blue?
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Sorry. To Tommy Hilfiger fans out there, we apologize. Please keep listening.
Yeah, right. I'm sure Tommy's, just rage quitting his laptop right
now. Is he German or something? That sounds like a German sounding name. I'm just trying to imagine what he's saying.
I don't know. I mean, Tommy Hilfiger, I don't even know if that's even a real guy, is it?
Let's just assume he has some...
Must be. Yeah.
Let's just assume he has some vague semi-European accent that I will now attempt to ape. I will never listen to this Ganze again. Oh, God. All right.
What is this bullshit?
This is shit. I am canceling my Nerdstravaganza line of clothing. It's over.
Don't cough. Scheiß der Kopf, sagt er.
Oh, man. Ganzaware is kaput.
Oh, God. All right.
So what about, let's tackle the next generation then.
Yeah, let's move on. It seems like that's always where we want to go, is into the future, as we are optimists, I think. And let's see, let's mix it up a little bit. Brian, maybe this isn't mixing it up. I may just be preserving the order. But Brian, what do you think, man? What kind of wearables are you looking forward to in the near, distant, and the near future, distant future, and beyond?
Mid-future, I really believe we'll have wireless power.
Yeah.
So as long as they can get you through the day, you can take off your jacket, put it on a coat hanger, and it'll charge overnight. So I'm not too concerned about it for the mid-future. I'm really excited about what we call smartphones now are going to be in the future.
Mm.
Because, your collar is going to have earbuds in it. And you can just listen to your music without looking like, silly with the headphones on the bus and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably going to be like a lapel mic, so you don't have to, wear Bluetooth in your head or anything like that, or do that thing that like chimpanzees do where they put the phone to their ear and then move it to their mouth and then move it to their ear and then move it to the mouth.
Yes.
So my urge to kill will immediately diminish.
Brian, those aren't chimpanzees. Those are Floridians.
What?
And they still haven't learned how to use tools yet.
Yes. Okay, so you're seeing the current handheld device sort of broken up into its constituent components and distributed around the body.
I think we're going to have, like, either, jackets or maybe just, like, cool shirts or whatever. Not necessarily fashionable, but very, very functional. And then you can just put something fashionable over it.
Hmm. I like it. I like it. So more subtle, less obvious wearables, basically. It's just part of your outfit. You put on some cufflinks, you throw on your computer.
almost like glasses. Like, I mean, I don't know which of you wear glasses or contacts or whatever, but you wake up every single morning, you put them in. It is a fact of your life. You don't like walk around, oh my God, I'm blind, I forgot that thing.
Yeah. Okay. It becomes that much a part of your daily routine. Sure.
Right.
Just like making sure you got your cell phone in your pocket is now. Cool. Very interesting. So what are your thoughts, guys?
I think that actually really helps synergy with sort of what I'm excited about or what I'm hoping will happen, which is sort of a multi-point or like a holistic view to things. Like, so instead of just having this like pocket watch, like you said, Tom, in your pocket, these different, I guess, areas of the body where you have these things folded into either your collar or your, you know, your lapel or your belt or whatever it is, will also be able to sort of, you know, just like Ryan said, be charged wirelessly. They'll also be able to interact with each other. So you're getting sort of real time information from a bunch of different data points. So it's not just like a pedometer that's on your phone. It's something that can gauge your heart rate, your respiration rate, your you know, basically, you know, everything on your body at once. So it's not just like a Fitbit, you know, one little data port or data entry port, getting a limited amount of data, but it's a bunch of different ports that work together and get a whole snapshot of everything. And I'm just using sort of like the workout scenario as an example, but you can think of so many other applications, just in terms of, you know, what that technology might be able to do in getting a snapshot of whatever it is you're doing at the time or whatever you want to, you know, measure or record.
So wearable arrays of devices as opposed to just a single device.
Well, all of them working, you know, all the different things working together.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to imagine those things being commoditized to a point that some textile factory in an exploited third world country couldn't just sew them into clothing, right?
Yeah. Or, I mean, look, I mean, the cell phone pocket in pants is completely commonplace now.
Yeah.
So, like, why wouldn't that stuff be either? I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, altering the design and making some poor 12-year-old in China. So,
thank you for seizing on my my condemnation of the current supply chain. Yeah, thank you.
Well, now that you're talking about that, I can almost see where your app is now your outfit. Because, you know, you're not going to wear a jacket and this or that, like in Florida heat, but when you go to business, you're going to wear your business suit, and now your business suit is your business app.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then when you go jogging, you put on your gym outfits, and that's all your health apps that are kicking in when you put your gym clothes on.
Oh, so like profiles attached to your clothing even,
Yeah.
Almost like real-life avatar types or real-life like skins, you know?
Yeah, I really like that. I like that. And I'll tell you right now, there's going to be no Tommy Hilfiger profile for this guy. That's just right out. I'm not not wearing that.
I mean, unless we have like a 80s party or something.
right. Mind you, Tommy Hilfiger will be like the hottest thing next year, and I'll be tricked out. So I'm a hypocrite.
Tennis pros and golf hose party at my house.
I like it.
Tom, I got your number. Disney just has to have Tommy Hilfiger Day. You'll be there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And no offense to women with the word hoe. I was just being facetious.
I don't get it, Cam. Do you have your misogyny profile on? What clothing are you wearing right now? Are you wearing a wife? Totally. Are you wearing a wife beater?
Yeah. It's got a bunch of stains and a hole in it. Cigarette hole burn.
What about that, Brian? What about, let's assume we get to some commoditized future where like your threads themselves have some computing capacity. Could you imagine a profile being attached to your outfit?
Oh, easily. I think you could run either lights or maybe just arranging molecules in such an order that they would be different colors depending on how they're arranged. And you could change the color of your jacket or, I think maybe designs is optimistic, but.
Man, you guys, this all folds into something I know I've kicked around with at least some of you here and there. People are saying that the retail space is dead, that the public space is dead, that everyone's online, et cetera, and so forth. But with integrated sort of computing capacity in your clothing, the ability to walk in and have your ego just plastered all over the walls of a club or a gathering place, I think it's going to basically take social networking back into the physical world. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, in the scenario you mentioned, it would be a whole horde of egos plastered on the wall for each individual person.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the more popular the person, the more of them gets plastered all over the club wall when they walk in. Can you even imagine?
I hope this happens, though, because I'm really looking forward to, like, the future where, like, nerdy kids can pick on their bullies by programming their clothes to look like underwear.
Yeah, you hack somebody, right? And they just look like a complete toolbox walking in.
This guy's going to wear Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah, whenever this guy walks in, he's just a big farty Tommy Hilfiger fan. It's all farts and Hilfiger as far as the eye can see.
Jesus.
Man, we are killing a sponsorship opportunity with all this. I'm just going to...
Yeah, seriously, we're never going to be sponsored. We're never going to be sponsored by him.
Nine, no sponsorship.
I like how he's like...
he's basically Hitler from that movie, Down...
Red Skull.
Hitler from Downfall, right?
Yeah. To bring Big Brother, I guess, into the mix, I mean, do you think that with the new wave of wearables and technology, there's going to be a glut of, you know, Facebook-esque advertising or even maybe even not, if not like, you know, direct advertising to us, like, you know, just commercials coming up in our face, but maybe permission-based information gathering. So it know, you know, the devices know where you're going, what you're doing, what you're, I mean, and obviously NSA and all that stuff aside, government aside, I'm just talking about like just companies, you know, are information gathering as to where you're going, what you're doing, what you're buying, how much you're running, you know, where all that
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Cam, in fact, right after this, I'm going to incorporate Trouser Tracker Inc. And that's exactly what we're going to do is gather data on people for marketing.
I would be extremely embarrassed if people knew where my trousers
were. So. But believe me, there's a horde of people out there that want to know.
Tommy, you're a troll, a patent troll. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah. If anybody should ever use trouser tracking or any sort of pant monitoring or anything, I have the patent on that from henceforth.
I see two things with that kind of spin. One is that the tinfoil hat is going to go out of vogue as it just becomes a whole tinfoil outfit.
Yeah. That's the only way to keep people.
New wearable.
That's,
yeah. Right.
That's number one. And number two, I can see the irony of somebody saying, yes, I want all these permission-based things to go to Facebook and all this as I put on my special hood that's promised to throw face tracking software off. So the government doesn't know where I'm at, but Facebook does. And all my friends do, which some way, ironically, still lets the NSA know where I'm at anyway.
You think, okay, so you guys are sort of, there probably are going to be a certain number of people who object to having their underwear as a data collection point. But, and I'm going to toss this one to Brian, because I have a feeling he'll think in line with me. Brian, if Old Navy offers to give you free clothes all the time, if you just let them track your every movement, people are going to go for that, right?
I honestly think that getting back to even sponsorship opportunities, people are going to subsidize their cell phone contracts with, like, you know, you wear our logo for 8 hours a day.
Oh my God. Yeah. Everybody's a NASCAR, right?
Like our politicians should be.
Oh my God. Don't even get into that. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting you guys brought this up to bring it to a modern day example. AT&T, for our global listeners, that is a giant telecom here in the U.S. Well, they're rolling out this gigabit internet service, and they're offering it for crazy low prices in certain markets. But the catch is you got to let them snip all your traffic. So basically your entire data stream is subject to their review and parsing for relevant marketing. And you can also buy a non-monitored feed for more. But what if the over-under on most people agreeing to be monitored? And you can certainly extrapolate from that and come to some conclusions with these wearables, I think.
I, you might as well get the cheaper rates. They're doing it anyway.
Right. They own the pipe anyway, right? So they're doing it. Illegally.
Might as well act like you're involved.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Yeah, and that raises a sort of interesting specter. At what point is it unavoidable? I mean, if computers and tracking devices and gadgets become so ubiquitous that you can't really escape them, other than the tinfoil suit, what recourse do you have?
Tor line of clothing.
Yeah,
how's it go, Tommy Tor figure?
That's good. That's really good.
All of our action movies will be the hero trying to get off the grid by stripping naked.
Right, but he can't even do that, right? Because he put on some suntan lotion at one point while he was on a vacation, and now they track him.
Didn't they do that in Enemy of the State?
What, suntan lotion? Or
no, getting off the grid by stripping.
Ooh, I don't
know.
They
may have.
Wow, can you imagine? You have to take your clothes off. It's the only way. And then you're...
Will Smith was, like, running around a hotel naked because they were tracking his like, plant pants or something.
Oh, my God. Well, that would make you, but that would mark you as an enemy of the state because you'd be the only person naked. It doesn't matter. They're going to put like nano trackers in you, as I mentioned. The first time you put on some deodorant, I'm trying to think of a deodorant company. Speed Stick is then going to be able to track you for life, right? Man, this sucks. Why did this take such a dark turn, man? Like, it went from wearables to like, we're up your ass all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they already are. I mean, since the wearables isn't gonna, it's just only gonna keep.
The future sucks. No, but honestly, I think we discussed this at a fairly recent episode, so I'll bring it up again. At what point do we need to really redefine privacy? Like, you know, and at what point do we come to some sort of point of rationalization where we realize that a lot of the things we guard aren't worth guarding?
Dude, 10 years ago, there is no such thing as privacy. I mean, you're fooling yourself.
So
I tend to agree with Brian, unfortunately. I think if you think, if you think anything you do is private anymore, I mean, not even on the internet, I mean, just in life in general, you're fooling yourself.
The GPS on your cell phone can tell, like, within, 3 centimeters now, where you are in your house?
Yeah.
Right. And the government... And as well, I'm sure a lot of these big corporations have these giant data vacuums just sucking all that information up. Even if they claim they're not using it or they don't have the capacity to mine it, it's only a matter of time before they do, right?
Which is why
they're not
still
doing
it.
Their program is.
Right. You were saying, Chris?
I was saying, well, you were saying, you know, they don't have the capacity to do it now, but that's why they're still doing it, is so when they do have the capacity, boom, it's there.
Right, you've got this massive vault trove of data waiting to be mined. It may take, you know, a century to get through it now, but it might only take a month several years from now. And think the value of all that human behavior that's been approximated digitally.
Yeah. Well, you know, and just to sort of go back to Brian's point, I mean, it's going to happen no matter what. I mean, and it's only going to get worse. So I think, you know, and I don't know how up – people are on it, but Europe and the EU has been really, really hardcore in trying to crack down on on these companies and you know, make them get permission and, you know, all that stuff, way more than the US has been. But I think that's really the wrong direction for the conversation. I mean, I think at this point we just need to it should be accepted that it's here to stay. I think at this point we need to be talking about transparency and like what take it like I can't remember who said it before, but I think it was Brian again, like they're going to do it anyway. So might as well go with the lower price. Right. But if I'm going with that lower price and I know you're going to be tracking me any regardless of what happens. Okay. But tell me, what are you tracking? What are you doing with it? Who's getting that information? Tell me. Give me transparency as to what my information is going to be used for and what you're doing with it, rather than just collecting it, you know, clandestinely and then using it for whatever purposes you want to.
So if you're going to sell your soul, read the fine print.
Yeah, at least know what's happening. I mean, because it's going to happen either way, so at least know so you can sort of, you know, have some kind of information as to guard against certain.
Or if I opt to pay the higher price, at least give me a piece of paper that says, hey, I don't consent to the clandestine gathering of my data, so that in theory, I can come back after you later for doing it once it's revealed that, of course, you did anyway.
Yeah, because suing AT&T is going to be just, it's going to work out great.
I don't know. I mean, you get a million people that didn't want their browsing habits recorded. True. Maybe you've got enough people, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you kind of, as a person or as a human being or as a product, have to accept it. And you just got to realize they're not really interested in the actual details of your life. They don't care who you're dating or who you're cheating on or, you know, what shitty television show you're watching. They care about how monetized on what you're interested in.
Correct. Yes. I had the fortune of speaking to someone who works at Amazon fairly recently, and this was not any out of school talk or revealing anything, but basically Amazon, yeah, they're not interested in blackmailing you. They're interested in modeling your behavior and predicting what ad put in front of your face at what time of day on what day is going to most likely result in you buying something.
Yeah, they just want your
money. Yeah, yeah. It's all about emptying your wallet, really, yeah, at the end of the day. Until it isn't. Until it's about emptying your blood to be used by the super elite for immortality or something, right?
Yes.
Oh, God. What? Where? I just wanted to talk about wearables. What have we done?
Yeah, we've gone pretty far off the rails, but let's sort of bring it back to wearables and I guess sort of tie in a previous episode where we talked about AI and do we think that we're ever going to get to the point where wearables and this kind of technology is going to have a really comprehensive AI set that's gonna be, I guess, a boon to our daily life. Like I think about that movie Her from I think Spike Jones was the one that made that
yep.
movie, where you know the guy dated an AI woman that sounded like Scarlett Johansson. What do you guys think about that?
I think really soon we could have OnStar in our clothes.
Yeah.
Like you just like push one of the buttons on your shirt and be like, where's Carvel? And
yeah.
A cone.
Or, you know, like you're walking down the street and slip and break your hip or something like that. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, the medical alerts could be, instead of those like weird dongles that they have, they could just be, you know, blue wigs for elderly people to wear.
That's actually a really good idea.
Just tap the douchiest part of your Tommy Hilfiger attire and it'll call. OnStar.
Well, you know, now that I think about it, I mean, I think maybe what's holding wearables back is a lot of people want to see a visual output. And I know for me personally, it's gotten to the point with my hands-free my hands-free unit in my car, which seems to be now talking about wearables, not sort of, but kind of in that space. Every car now has a hands-free set. I don't even look at the map anymore. I just listen to the instructions it's giving to me. Maybe it's more wearables should be focusing more on the audio side as compared to the visual side of output.
Hmm. So the feedback is important.
Oh, yeah.
The only
thing I think of is I dread the day that I hear, you know, Mr. Chris, you haven't warned me today. You need to jog one extra mile. Yeah, as my tennis shoes guilt me into going back to the gym.
so you don't want your attire chastising you.
They won't be chastising you. The correct response will be your insurance premiums are going up unless you jog.
Yeah, exactly.
And today, Brian won the podcast.
Eternal leader, thanks to all of this, leveraging all this gathered data, Emperor Barack Obama is going to kick you off Obamacare if you don't go for a run.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Lord Emperor Obama. Oh, man. Ooh. Yeah, I could definitely see things going creepy and getting a little annoying, but... if we want to go distant future, Chris, what was that concept from science fiction you mentioned where the AI upgrades everybody, uplifting or something?
uplifting is a separate thing, but it's close to it. It's called the singularity, where in theory, our technology has reached a point with us that we become alien to people in the 21st and previous centuries, because we are melded with the machine, or the machine's melded us to some point where, you know, we're technically not the humans we used to be.
This is just one more avenue in that case, because
you are correct.
The global AI upgrades all of the Hilfiger people to Nike, and then we're one step removed from just being uplifted, because the AI, you know, figures that we're obsolete, but sees no reason to kill us as we were its forerunners, and just upgrades all of us.
Yeah, this is the first step, and then the next step is the contacts and the living tattoos. And then after that, who knows?
And I'm going to pause here and throw in a few more brand names that could have worked in that last sentence for sponsorship purposes. We can splice them in as needed. Reebok.
I don't know about
Ford.
Reebok.
I don't know.
New Balance.
New Balance. Yeah, just throw them out there. We'll splice the right one in until somebody comes a biting.
Puma.
Adidas.
You're right. Oh, man.
We could go old school IZOD.
There you go, IZOD. Well, don't just take clothing. I mean, who knows what the future holds? Kenmore?
Transformers as a wearable.
GE?
You have to take yoga first before you do that one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because you have to – your body was not meant to bend in the way those clothes are going to want to bend.
But your joints will have been upgraded.
Well, that's true. We're going to get uplifted. Of course. Of course.
And a head transplant.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mention that. Do you remember the less successful transforming robot line of toys from the 80s called the GoBots, guys?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
With Nugget! The Rock!
Yes, the Rock Lords, or whatever they were called. Which really sounds like crack addicts to me, but whatever.
I even watched the freaking cartoon.
Well, the reason I know about the Rock Lords, or whatever they were called, and Brian, I think, too, is because they made a cartoon movie, a feature film about the GoBots, featuring those guys.
Wow.
But the backstory behind the GoBots was they were humanoid, and then basically got, like, uplifted into robot form. So they used to be, like, you know, biological creatures, and they just upgraded themselves until they were, like, 1980s-era jets, helicopters, and scooters.
Wow. That transformed very crappily.
Yeah, God, yeah. Although those Rock Lord, I keep calling, I don't know what they're called, but whatever those rock ones are, were actually kind of cool.
I totally think they were called Rock Lords, dude.
Am I wrong? Does Rock Lord not sound like somebody that sells crack? Hey, it's the Rock Lord, selling crack to poor neighborhoods.
Rock Lord. Coming to a corner near you.
That's surely a villain in an upcoming season of Arrow. But yeah, so there you go. We're all going to become GoBots someday, guys. Hope you're looking forward to that. And I think we have crossed very far into the ridiculous on this topic. Are there any other points you guys want to cover?
Nope, I'm good.
Just that the main villain of the GoBots was Cy.
Yes. Whereas the main villain of our future will be Cy Killfigure. Oh, why have we picked on that name, Brad? It was just honestly, I just didn't care for it, but I made it. Oh, God. Anyway, with all offense to Tommy Hilfiger and other brands, hopefully laid aside, I think we should probably bring this episode to a conclusion. Any objections?
Nope.
Not at all.
Well, with that said, let's transform our way into our farewell. I'll start by saying that if your nerves haven't worn thin as a result of listening to this episode, we invite you to incorporate us into your everyday attire by listening to us through headphones, I guess, until wearables become more practical, either through iTunes or whatever other podcatching software you happen to use, and or by checking us out by the excellent streaming service known as Stitcher. Get it? Stitch, as in clothing. Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus want us on Google Plus, and don't forget to join the Nerdtravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
Bolt on over over to our website, nerdstravaganza.com, and check out all of our premium content, board game reviews, movie reviews, comic book reviews, and of course, all of our back episodes. Sending us an email is a breeze at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com, and you definitely want to pop your clutch and head over to YouTube. And check out all of our other premium content and videos.
All right, Chris, with that said, why don't you hop in the cop tour and yes. Take us out of here with a witty quip.
Okay, guys, give me just a second.
All names of GoBots, by the way.
I thought you were going for Bolt as in a bolt of fabric.
No.
Well done, well done.
Bolt, Clutch, and Breeze, all names of GoBots.
Excellent.